some sort of tikkun. Okay. I'm still not sure what. I think the other signing name is. I don't know. Whatever it is, makes a difference. Okay. So we left off over here in the Ruach Shtus, Al-Kinech Bais Ruach Shtus, and Adam is Einar M'choyten Kazvei Ruach Shtus, we spoke about that, and so on. V'chein he says, Shleim Ekorah Rosh Ksil B'chol Sefer Kohelas, V'oven Zehetev. So it's very interesting, you know, Shlomo HaMelech wrote three different Sfarim, and each sefer has a very, very different mahalach in Avodas Hashem. You have Shir Hashirim, you have Mishle, you have Koheles. And each one of these is very, very different from each other in terms of what is the strategy, so to speak, or what's the mahalach towards Avodas Hashem. So Chazal tell us that Shir Hashirim was written when he was young, Mishle when he was middle-aged, and Koheles Sof Yomov. So Shir Hashirim is something where the Tzar HaTov, the Eitz HaTov and the Tzar HaTov that pulls a person, does it through passion, through Ahava, through a burning passion that knows of no obstacles. The Ra is seen in terms of an obstacle. You have the Shomri Ha'ir, so you have this Shulamis, this woman who's trying desperately to go to the king, and that's her beloved one, and whatever it is, these forces are surrounding her, not letting her get out, dragging her back in again, hitting her, and so on. And that's, both Stadim are a sort of perspective on Ra. One is a Meshicha without any Seichel whatsoever. It's just kind of, you know, Mashcheinei Acharecha Narutza, the way Ava is, the way a teenager acts, and the everything is seen as just being an obstacle. There's a Koach that's going against it, sort of a mountain against it, and an enemy, a mountain, whatever you want against it, and that's what you're trying to overcome. That's the Sur Shir Hashirim, and that is that's appropriately describing the interaction in Yemei HaNeurim. In Mishle, the whole Mishle is a bureau of which things seem to be tov but are really ra, which things that are ra that seem to be tov, and so on. In other words, the person meets all sorts of women that seem to speak very, very sweetly and nicely, and they're really leading him down to Gehenna and so on. And therefore, the koach of being mevare ra from tov, it's no longer a question of wanting to do tov. The person wants to do tov, but the main koach needs to be to select between what looks like tov and is not tov, and what is really tov. And that's the whole. It's an appropriate. It's the issue that a person faces in his mid ages, when the passion of youth is gone, and it's left its mark that he's Nimshai once HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are many things in the world that look good and look bad, that are really bad and they look good, and so on and so forth. And those are the things that the person needs to be mevarer and to figure out which is which and what's what in order to do toiv. So the koch is the bureau of toiv from Ra, which in a sense is what happened afterwards in the Chet of Eitz Hadas, where there was this Tarevis and you mistake one for the other. Koheles is really the Seif Yamav, and the real Havana and Tfisa is that there is no bad and good. In other words, Mishle and Shir Hashirim have bad forces. There's in Shir Hashirim, there are these enemies. The equal of the good. They're trying to stop you from what you want and had a battle. In Mishlei, there are those who look good and they seem of equal, the Disha Zaina and Disha Nachria, and all of those are sort of parallel to the woman that's yours, and you need to be able to discern one from the other because they sort of switch identities. And that's a second phase. What Koheles does is really show up that the other women are an illusion. It's it has no substance. What Koheles has done is, you know, it's in the time of Zikna, a person's avoda is not the struggle so much between Ra and Toiv. It's not even the birur. It's pretty much clear what's what, but it requires a stronger birur that the Toiv, that the Ra doesn't exist at all. In other words, that the Yetzirah that I have is not a competing salesman, but really it's a dimyan ba'alma. The understanding the Ruach Shtus, and this is an important nature over here, is when it says Einanam Choytam Kenechz Ruach Shtus, so that means that when I'm undoing the Maisa, it's not enough that I go back and I say, okay, now I'm going to not listen to Ruach Shtus. Not listening to Ruach Shtus is not enough tshuva, because really what you've done is basically given the Ruach Shtus as a standing as alternative chachma. Let's take an example in a very, very abstract way. When we say Aleinu Shabeach, when we do Malchias and so on, Avodah Zorah is not defeated and Emunah is not in place when you basically believe Hashem is stronger, better, nobler, any type of superlative vis-a-vis the others is wrong. A person is not going to deher. If he dehers a Kadosh Baruch Hu as being the better, the stronger, the more ethical, and so on, then he's got it wrong. The avoda is to deher the Ruach Shtus as a Ruach Shtus, as meaning, what was I thinking? I mean, it's not the pshat; it's an argument, the equivalent of this argument, but it's different. I once saw a great way of answering somebody. There's a famous lawyer, big mouth, named Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz in America. He's very known, he's a very bright person, very sharp-witted, and so on. And somebody once challenged him to a debate about the Holocaust. And that's a trap, because if you're debating it, it means you should study Lakan, you study Lakan. If you don't debate it, it means you refuse to let yourself face the challenges of science and facts and so on and so forth. So it's a very uncomfortable position to put yourself into. So he said a Dvar Chochma. He said he certainly will agree to the debate, but it has to be a series of three debates. One, if the world is round or flat. Two, if slavery exists in America, and three, if the Holocaust existed. In that context, he's perfectly happy to debate the issue. In other words, to struggle with something, then it means that you gave it a metzias. The being able to look at something and to say it's be'etzem not means it doesn't have a metzias. So just like, for instance, if a person has a dream, when he wakes up, so imagine a person had a dream where he was attacked by this huge monster, and he was menatzeach the monster. And then he wakes up. So he doesn't walk around saying, you know, I had a fight with the Zeus monster and I won. And then a little small asterisk, by the way, it was a dream. The person laughs and the person says, you know, there was a dream. There was nothing there. The koyach of Ra lies not in saying that you overcame it, or that it's an evil derech, whatever. Shlomo HaMelech's Kohelis is that every road ends up in Havel HaVolim. Havel HaVolim means it is insubstantial. There's no substance there. It doesn't have it. It's, you know, I was once listening to somebody. He's unfortunately, somebody's related to marriage, somewhat by marriage, not marriage, by, it's his mother married my uncle, and he married a non-Jew, and the kids are non-Jewish, and so he's no, at very little shags with him, but we met at the levaya of my uncle. So, you know, his darg of Ruchnis is such that standing by, he spoke to me for a half hour what kind of wonderful retired life he has. So I look at him, an old man, he must be deep in his 70s, late in his 70s, talking about Dvarim Shem Ben Mamish. And it's not the pshat, like somebody who is like young and successful and exciting, and I say no, but you know what, but what I have is better and nobler and this and that. It was pitiful to listen, you know. It was just pitiful to listen because he himself also knew it was just a dimion. There was nothing. Yeah, he sits in his bedroom and he does business here and does business there. You know, Havel Avon. The whole thing was there was nothing there to it. Not you know, and he it's almost as if he's living in a world of dimion. But all of Ra is a ruach shtus. A ruach shtus means it has no achiz in chachma. And the minute if a person were to come to somebody and say, you know, here's $1 million for X, Y, or Z, and tempt the person to do an Avera with $1 million, it's a temptation. Let's say a person comes to you and says, I'll give you Monopoly money. For those of you who are culturally not American, Monopoly is a play game. I don't know, it's probably exists in other kind of cultures as well. And he gives you Monopoly money. So it's not even a great joke. I mean, what are you talking about? I don't know what you want from me. But so long as we live with an illusion, then it's a mitzias, and therefore that mitzias, it's as if there's an alternative. And yes, we now need to. We need to struggle or deal with it. The ultimate in tshuva is the ultimate avodas Hashem, and that means in the process of tshuva, is that the person is mafkia the ruach shtus. He deheres it as ruach shtus, which means it's not. It's based on something that is that has no metzias, and it is. Just an illusion. It's just a fantasy. And of all the places where Chazal especially gave that was by this inyan of Taivas Noshim by Saita, because all the things, the strongest taiva that a person struggles with is Yetzer Harayis, and in terms of the power of and its sense of this being the ultimate good pleasure, etc., it is the most powerful by far. And yet, when a person rethinks it, la'achra taiva, there's not even a chiza metzias there. The person, it was all a dimyan. And that's the power. Ruach shtus means I can create a metzias that's not anchored in in Seichel and so on. If we can explain it a drop further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, so it says B'chokhmasa in the Targum Yonasan. The first sphera that comes from nowhere is Chachma. Chachma Yitimatze, Chachma is the first one, Chachma Bin and Das, and is the first sphera. Sometimes they count something beyond, but Keser, but that's called beyond. It's not really a sphere in that sense. It's another way of saying beyond. So the Bria's Shoresh lies in Chachma. If anything that has all the other midas but doesn't have Chachma in it is quasi metzias. It's like a plant that's shaped and looks like, imagine I take a plant and I put it down in the ground, a fully formed plant, flower, tree, shrub, but no roots. So it's a quasi metzias. It has all the trappings of a tree. It looks exactly like it. It feels like it. It smells like it. It tastes like it. But it's not a tree. And it will wilt and disappear because it's not rooted in anything. It's not grounded in anything. So Chachma is the rootedness of something, which means that the thing has metzias. When a person is mafkia that, when a person has a dimyan, it means it looks like it, it feels like it, it smells like it, but it's missing be'etzem, the nekuda of metzias. So in the final, the havel havolim is the avoda, is the final avoda. It's the deepest avoda, it's the strongest avoda, and the basically, Shamech sums it up, you know, when he says seif davar kol nishma. And so on, kizeh kol ha'adam, as Kimi Reid, so it's a shmar, kizeh kol ha'adam. It means basically there's nothing else there. There is no other thing. Kizeh kol ha'adam means anything else looks like it's part of your life, but it's not part of your life. That's the meaning of the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya where he says, Hashmin Lev. Let's go first in the Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah says that there is the Seder in Tefillah, which does seems to be a bit erratic. Starts with Atachainen and Ashivenu, and then Refeinu comes afterwards. You know, Ashivenu Slachlon and Refeinu. So the core process Chazal build on this pasuk. Hashman leivo mazev ozlam hachbeid veinov hasha. They have hardened their hearts, and they blocked their ears, and they've removed their eyes. Pen yirabeinu, because they're scared of seeing something. Or ba'ozlam yishman, they're scared of hearing something. Or levavo yavin, and then his heart would understand. Vishavirafalai, and then he will do tshuva. They will do tshuva, and they will be healed. So the process of, so it says in Chazal that the process of bina leads to tshuva, the process of das and understanding leads to tshuva, and vishavirafalai. So it says there is things that you hear and you see that affect you, and those are things where a person he sees how bad Ra is, he sees how good Toiv is, but all of that is in a certain sense immaterial until Olavavo Yovin Vishavarafalo. Tshuva comes after Bina, and it's not just the process of thinking about it, it's the process that we described where the person can undo the ruach shtus, and it's like sometimes you struggle with somebody who's trying to make a business deal, that you realize what has grabbed him is the greed, and it makes no sense practically. And you try to shake the person and say, you know, your mind is in fantasy mode. Yeah, this will make millions, and then those millions will make more millions, and so on. Don't you see? This is a problem. This is a problem. This is a problem. And and what you try to do is focus him on the Bina and to be realistic. That's what you're trying to do. Every Averit, we don't have a problem if our mind was working and we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe in the Torah, we believe in right and wrong, then really is no problem of... So why would a person do an Avera? If we were to perceive the Avera just as kind of very cold... let's give an example. If a person... let's take something without an apparent Taiva. If a person has a suit, he's going to buy a suit, and one of the suits says Shatnes on it. So if the person is minimally Yireh Shamayim, if the person is knows the halacha and he keeps mitzvahs, he's not going to buy it. And if it's a few dollars cheaper, he's not going to buy it. But imagine a person is very, very conscious of his looks. And this type of suit is what's in. It's kind of, this is, you either wear this or you're neb or you're old fashioned or who knows what. So now the person is struggling with something else. He's not struggling with a seichel. Is it kedai? Is not kedai? He's in a fancy mode. He just pictures himself wearing this and being the star, and because he's good looking and he dresses cool and he knows how to present himself and so on, and he presents himself like that. So now the person is in a different world, and the type of he there's no more logical thinking. The need to undo Ra is to be mafkiet. So first of all, as a way to understand what needs to happen, what's the olavava yavin v'shaver afalai, means being in thinking mode rather than fantasy mode. That's one, and it means we're not yoitzer. The tshuva, until we haven't gotten to a place where it's hard for us to understand what was going through our heads in the first place, until we recognize that it's a fantasy. Mara says in Sukkah that Lassid Lava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to Shecht Yitzhara, so everybody's going to be crying. Tzaddikah is going to be crying, how could we overcome a Har Gavoy like this? And Rishayim will cry, this was like a Saira, like a hair, why couldn't we overcome it? This Chazal has a very deep meaning. Shechita is a tikkun of an animal. It's called, in other words, an animal is also as Evi Menachai, and the act of Shechita is called a tikkun. It's also called a birur, that you mevar tov mira in it. That's the way this farm call it. So shechit in itself is not killing in a sense of getting rid of, but it's actually when you shecht something, you now turn it from a dava asa dava muta. In anything, it so to speak, I guess, brings the meat out of the animal. It takes something which is not edible, and it's not and you get the meat out of it. The Lazid Lavoi, the Yetzirah, when the world comes to its final tikkun, then the Yetzirah will have created two tikkunim. One is, or better said, in retrospect, we will have seen two things happening. One is the tzaddikim, to whom the challenge of Yetzirah made their work into a Har Gavoah. In other words, it is the strength of Ruchnius, like Shir HaShirim, it is the strength of Ruchnius and running after HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even when it means climbing a mountain or struggling with Ra at its ultimate, a person can still a person still did it. So there's a certain godless, so to speak, of Torah that a person made that climb up the mountain. That's one thing. What the Rishoyim got out of the Yetzirah in Achris Hayomim is the realization that there was nothing there. It's like when you let the air out of the balloon and the balloon fizzles to a nothingness. When you let the air out of Ra, when the Yetzirah is shechted and it's no more a live force, they will look at it and say, there's nothing here. I mean, there's nothing of real substance here. It was all dimyan. Like, how could we have not been oikirit is really a revelation that ein ad mulvadei. The Russia himself, it's not enough for the Russia to say it was better to be Eved Hashem, it comes with a terrible consequence to be Eved Ra, and so on. The tikkun is that when the Russia looks at it and says, there was nothing here, how did I get to it? Al Kaponim, when you speak, so when we speak in terms of tshuva, and certainly on the practical level, just stopping to do ra has, you know, as tempting as it is, and as you know, as much as a person craves to do ra, that certainly requires a lot of kochos and nefesh, and yes, you know, that's fine. But on a deeper level, the person's as a person gets older, to keep reflecting that anything, and to keep reflecting on those things that were ruach shtus in the bria, things that present themselves with a big hoo-ha, and in retrospect you see, you know, the person got no place, the person has nothing of it, it's not this terrible exciting gain or pleasure, whatever it is, there's nothing to it. That's a tremendous that's a void of a lifetime, because Koheles was written in retrospect, and he called the Yetzirah the Ksil for that reason, because that's what he's trying to do. It's important for him to recognize the Ruach Shtusim for what they were. That type of avodah is a lifetime work. That's not, you know, not every Yom Kippur. I mean, yes, a little, maybe a drop we can, but come on, I'm looking at Tshuva in a bigger scope. That's the avodah of it. Okay, any questions, any points?
Rabbi, what is the second stage, Mishlei?
So Mishlei presents, it's a different A mitzad the toiv. It no longer is the passion drive. I'm there, I'm looking for toiv. But the question is, the avodas of Birur, there are things that seem to be good. There's really two things to choose from. I need to choose from this mahalach. There is Ra there, and Ra is of substance. It comes disguised as Tov, and I need to be able to make that decision. Just like, let's go back to practice, a teenager will be able to do tremendous Maisim Tovim that an adult can't do, but he can't distinguish well between things that are Atzas Yetzirah or Yetzer Tov. That's very much the nature of a teenager. So Mishlei is the avoda of learning to be mafchin between things that present themselves as tov, and, you know, and things that are not tov, but they just present themselves as tov. That's the avoda of a person's middle age. All of Mishlei is, it's sort of, be careful. This one looks like, you know, it might be worthwhile. She's really fooling you and taking down Shol Tachtis and so on. That's sort of the thread of it. it's advising a person what's a derech tov and what's a derech ra. Koheles is not advising ra. He's exposing that there is no ra. That is all tov. Somebody, the famous old mashal that everyone gives, it says in Koheles that a king once surrounded a place, and then a wise man saved the city, and nobody remembered the wise man afterwards. And everyone asks, well, how could that be? If this wise person saved the entire city, how could we not remember him? So the Welt says that what happened was the king that was surrounding the city, the enemy, didn't have many forces. And what he did was he put up a lot of dolls to look like these people there. And this wise man pointed it out to them that these are not real people, they're just dolls. And that's why nobody remembered him, because it wasn't as if there was a danger. And he figured out a way to save them. He opened their eyes to the fact that there really is no danger there. By the way, I heard this mashal, I don't know, 1970 maybe? In 73, during the Yom Kippur War, I had a roommate in the room next to me in the mirror who was in the army. And his job was, they didn't have enough forces to cover everywhere. It was horrible. It was a very, very, it was a tremendous debacle, the war. And so he drove a bus full of cutout soldiers, like dolls, you know, just silhouettes, up and down the Jordan Valley all night, every night, so that they would think there are troop movements there. That was his job. So there's something like that actually exists, that mashal actually exists. But Al Kaponim, the chachma was to be megal and say, you know, I lived through a life. There is no, this, the other stuff goes no place. It's an illusion, it's a mirage. Okay, Gmar Simetova, a good Kiben Shiar, and I guess we'll be back somewhere at the beginning of the first Thursday of Cheshvan, I guess, whenever that comes out.
Have a good year. Thanks, Rabbi.
Okay. Good and bye.